like it wasn't just meditation practice, or it wasn't just keeping the rules, which Ajahn Chah was very, very strict, very precise in keeping the rules of conduct, the rules of discipline. The Vinaya discipline was very strictly kept at Wat Pa Pol. But it was interesting, because sometimes you live with rule keepers and they just drive you nuts. You know, it's really irritating. But somehow the way that Ajahn Chah held it wasn't the rule for the sake of the rule. What are you learning from these rules? What is the basis of the training? And so much of it was mindfulness and clear comprehension, reflection and investigation. What's the intention? What's the volition? Where is the mind moving to? How is it moving? What are you learning from that? Developing a sense of clarity and a certain grace, being graceful in what one does, because it's just being mindful with ordinary things. It's like Ajahn Sumedho tells the story of him. He'd go into the meditation hall, and the monastics have not so much here. I think we hang them. They have these shoulder bags that we carry our gear in, and our sitting cloths and odds and ends, and flashlight, and here they have very neat little pegs and racks to put stuff in. But at Ajahn Chah's monastery, you take it into the meditation hall. And as Ajahn Sumedho tells it, I mean, certainly he would be going into the meditation hall to go and join the chanting and the meditation, and he would go in, kind of plunk his bag down, and it'd be kind of crumpled up and not very neat and tidy at all. And after doing that a few times, Ajahn Sumedho come into the hall and then sat down. And then Lopo Cha went over, didn't say a word, went up beside him, picked up his yam, put it on his shoulder, took it down, gently placed it down, and didn't plunk it down, took the shoulder part of it, folded it back, folded it on top, neat and tidy, went back to his seat and sat down. So Ajahn Sumedho got the message. So that was, you know, it's just, well, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And these were way, and you know, just all of the training around how to walk in the village so that you're not talking and chatting and you are a devaduta. Is a heavenly messenger, like one of the heavenly messengers that the Buddha saw, a sort of an old person, a sick person, a dead person, and a religious seeker. These were what stimulated the Buddha's renunciation and going forth. And Ajahn Chah would always emphasize that, yeah, we are religious seekers, and you want to be living an exemplary life and showing people that there's something peaceful that they can aspire to. And so that you go into the village, you go into the town, you wear your robes on neat and tidy, You walk in a measured way. You don't sort of chatter and talk and laugh out loud, and there's you're not boisterous. It's not so that there's a composure that is cultivated, and it's quite it's very beautiful. Ajahn Chah would often give the in emphasizing that, he would often bring up the example of, you know, that was like Sariputta, his introduction to the Buddha's teachings and to the Buddha himself was through him seeing one of the first disciples of the, say, of the Buddha, Asaji, gaining faith that this is somebody who's got something different and special. He's peaceful. He must be, if he's not enlightened, he's got to be a disciple of an enlightened being. Of course, he was both, but that sense of, you know, we do have the opportunity to do, and it just is in basic things of walking and sitting, and you don't need any. Ajahn Chah would often say, you don't need to be telling people anything about the teachings. Just live them, and people will gain some confidence. And so that was something that Ajahn Chah was very put a lot of emphasis on. And I think that he created communities that were good examples.